This is Greg Martinelli from Ag Sales Professionals, a sales training, coaching, and speaking service that brings innovative approaches to the sales professional in you. The purpose of our podcast is first and foremost to improve your selling skills, to give you one more tool in your selling toolbox that you can use in the highly competitive world of selling to farmers, producers, and agribusiness. Today, I'm joined by Andrea Shea of Standing Partnership. We're here in your main office, Andrea, in St. Louis, Missouri. But Andrea, I gather you cover a much bigger geography than just St. Louis. Can you tell our listeners more about Standing Partnership?
Happy to. Yes, we're headquartered here in St. Louis, so we do a lot of work with our agricultural clients here and across the Midwest. However, Standing Partnership also is part of a larger WorldCom public relations group, which gives us experts across the country and globe that extend our expertise and let us deliver on-the-ground support in 49 different countries.
Great. So tell us a little bit about who do you work with, and maybe what do you do for them?
Sure. So we've been working with agribusiness companies for more than 26 years. And in that time, we've worked with a wide variety of companies across the value chain, from animal nutrition to seed companies, grower groups and associations, technology providers. And we've helped them do a wide variety of services, whether it's helping them build their brand, grow their sales, or work on the transformation into this world of digital marketing.
Sure. And Standing Partnership is a marketing firm. Is that kind of the description you would use for?
Yes, marketing communications.
But you've taken a little bit of a different angle than most marketing firms that are out there. So kind of tell us a little bit what's unique about Standing Partnership and how you fit into agribusiness.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of our agribusiness, we are a little bit more behind the scenes, I guess you would say. We're not the company that comes in and helps you do your big advertising spend or your advertising design. Mm-hmm. We do a lot more on the stakeholder engagement side, and that's how we were talking about it, Greg, with your work in sales, is we really see our role is helping different stakeholder groups work together, and that includes sales and marketing. How can they work better together? But we've also had experience in working on regulatory approvals or helping industry groups work together. So this idea of helping different groups work together and communicate better.
Improving communication between the different departments within.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your role in the business and what you get involved with in customers.
Sure.
Business.
I am a manager here. I've been here for almost 7 years, and a lot of my role in particular is the day-to-day client interaction and management, and I've myself had a lot of variety in what I've done for our agribusiness clients. In the last couple years, I've helped an animal nutrition company redesign their website, adding lead generation and marketing automation tools. I've also helped our bioscience and seed company clients go through multiple regulatory approval processes. Mm-hmm. And then I also work with some of our commodity group associations doing some of the stakeholder engagement. So, but my role, you know, here is really, I'm sort of that day-to-day counsel working very closely with the client.
Excellent. What are a couple of the top two or three goals that you have when you start working with customers? What are some actionable items that a company comes to you and says, hey, I want to work with Standing Partnership? What are they actually looking for you to accomplish?
Sure. So one thing stepping back is I would say our approach is that we often have people come to us and say, you know, we're having a challenge, and we really try to get to the heart of not maybe what they think they need, but what really do is that challenge you're facing and what's the best solution. And in the end, our goal is to help you achieve business goals, not just marketing goals.
Great.
So helping the marketing team or the sales team really achieve actionable, measurable business goals. And then secondarily, our goals of how we work with you would just depend on what that is, you know, whether it's, hey, we really need help from our marketing team in how we work better with our sales team, or we really need a new website that can actually drive people to contact us, or we need digital advertising that drives people to our website.
Gotcha.
So those are some of the ways we work with clients.
And maybe if you have an example or two of, obviously can't say names of any kind, but because you're behind the scenes, yeah, so to speak, but maybe give an example that you've got recently where you're like, hey, this is one, maybe one of the ones you're most proud of in the past year and a half, couple of years.
Sure. Well, I'll talk a little bit about the animal nutrition company. So they're a smaller company. Mm-hmm. Their workforce of salespeople were all across the geographies and had varying levels of experience, had been in the industry for a while, up to not very long. But in general, they just didn't feel like some of the marketing materials were supporting what they were doing, especially the website. It was very out of date. If people asked to be contacted through the website, it went into a spreadsheet that someone on the R&D team responded to when they got time.
Sure.
So they were missing out on some opportunities. So what we did is help them completely launch a new website. And through that process, we worked with all of the salespeople to ask them, you know, what do you think your customers are looking for when they go to the website? What do they need to know about your products? And then also, you know, what the way we then can consult and elevate it is we can help them with search engine optimization so that they're found when people are searching, sure, for products in their category. And then we added marketing automation tools that took some of the heavy lifting early on off of the sales team. So if someone submitted a form and said, I want someone to contact me, they got an automatic. If someone fills out a form asking the sales team or science lead to contact them, mm-hmm, they would get an automated response versus the salesperson having to go in and make sure they were getting those responses,
sure,
sent out. It takes some of that early lifting off the team.
Excellent. And it lets the person know that somebody knows they're there.
Exactly.
They've had contact. What are some other ways that maybe that you achieve some of those goals? Anything that you want to share with the audience of maybe, I mean, you explained the sales team, which was various levels of experience and, mm-hmm, and interaction. And I see that in sales training, you have all different generations and,
yeah,
all different levels of involvement and skill levels. And sometimes the marketing department, sometimes they're very entwined with their sales team, mm-hmm, and sometimes they're completely removed. What are some things that maybe you try to improve upon when you see that there's a big disconnect between sales and marketing?
Absolutely. I think that's something we see a lot and are trying to work with some clients around is breaking down those silos, mm-hmm, between marketing and sales. And a couple of things we would recommend and have done for clients is start with a strategy session, mm-hmm, that puts marketing and sales together and form some shared goals, a revenue goal, a leads goal, but also define what those leads are so that what marketing is generating is actually helpful to sales.
Right.
And so that they have a good working relationship there. So it always usually starts with a strategy session and making sure you have those right people in the room,
yep,
to get aligned on.
This happens when I go out and I'll interview salespeople and, mm-hmm, for sales training discussions and the marketing department, and it seems like they're saying two different things.
Exactly.
And you always think to yourself, you guys both need to be in the same room and then, mm-hmm, say that and,
yes,
see what happens. And hopefully it's not sparks for the fly. It's joint communication,
yeah,
that goes on. So one of the things, go ahead.
Another thing we've been talking about is this idea of a buyer's journey. You really need to sit, mm-hmm, down and invite your marketing team to help you through this process of map out what that journey is. What does your buyer do when they first start looking for information? How do they then do comparisons? What sort of information are they looking for? And then as you map out what the journey is that they follow, what are the different points along that marketing can support?
Excellent. And you've got a great handout that we're gonna, mm-hmm, we're gonna reference here,
exactly,
at the end. I think it's interesting and definitely for listeners to watch that, how marketing and sales can interact with each other by saying, you know, sales can say, no, this is where they make that decision. This is how they decide.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they go for that information. And then marketing can interplay. And I read your handout,
yeah,
so I kind of part of that. What One of the areas I think that people think about when they think about marketing spend, working with a marketing firm, is dollars costs. Mm-hmm. Today's ag economy is under a tough constraint and things are getting a little bit tighter. So one of the things that you think about is, well, I don't have a giant marketing budget, and it's hard sometimes to put our finger exactly on what the ROI of marketing, because sometimes it's just impressions. And so having said that, people can say, well, it's easy to just not spend on marketing because we can't see the actual return. Mm-hmm. So we'll just not do it, and we can't see the loss that might have been there. So what would you have to say to listeners if they're out there, maybe they've got a small company of 5 people or a larger company of 100? How do you work with that in the different budgets? Maybe explain some of that aspect.
Well, the first thing I would say is today, with everything that you have available from digital tools, there really is no excuse to say marketing cannot be measured anymore, sure. Especially if you're working with sales, because you can tie your work to generating leads or performance there. So you should be able to provide some measurement and some reasoning, sure, behind why you're spending. As far as spend, another trend that we really see in the industry is that people aren't doing large year-over-year retainer, you know, this is how much I'm going to spend for the whole year. They're really looking at what is the problem I need to solve today that's most urgent, and let me do a project that focuses just on that. And I think that makes it a lot easier for smaller companies to get started, because they can just take off a small bite and, yep, and do a smaller project that is maybe only $10,000,
right,
or something.
So there, some of the companies that work with you aren't doing a year-long approach, or when they come to work with you, they aren't asked to sign into a all-inclusive program,
right,
that takes them from, it's all their different marketing campaigns.
Yeah.
It may just be one project that they were having a struggle with,
mm-hmm,
getting qualified leads to our sales team from our website, and
yep,
that's something that you would work,
right,
with. Excellent.
And we've also worked with a lot of, you know, maybe smaller companies like you're saying, Greg, where we do that strategy session, mm-hmm, and we provide you our counsel on here's what you should do going forward, but then your team takes it and implements it.
Gotcha. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. What are a couple of things that in any business, there's always those few things that you wish customers knew or understood? Just like I wish people would, like what you just told me is, mm-hmm, hey, you can really measure marketing.
Yeah.
You know, one of them that comes to mind around marketing is that, you know, this the saying that print media is dead, or that television media is dead because you get all the internet and social,
yeah,
social media that you can go to. What are a few of the things that come to your mind as I wish people knew this about marketing or marketing firms?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things that, you know, even I've been seeing lately and I find interesting is this idea of measurement, as you said, that business leadership, your executives, your CEO, are really expecting marketing officers to shift their focus away from awareness, mm-hmm, impressions, as you were saying, and actually show they can lead revenue growth. And there's been a lot of studies. There was a study by Deloitte. There was a study by Gartner that they're really saying, no, marketing, you've got to support sales and business growth or you're not going to get your money.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's really important and something that's a change and that some people aren't keeping up with. The amount of tools out there, digital tools to support you and make it easier to do that measurement and get started along this process. Then what we just talked about, that you can get support maybe on a project basis,
sure,
and focus on your key.
Excellent. One of the questions I might have for you, because this comes up a lot in ag discussions, is the generational changes that are going on. And I used to say, or I still do, is that it seems harder than it used to be because you have to be, but you need to be everywhere, it seems like. So you've got to be, we still have people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s even making decisions on grain merchandising or, you know, crop decisions and animal production decisions all the way down to those in their 20s. And you have to have print as well as, you know, hard copy, as well as radio, TV, media. How does a company take this giant ball of marketing from, you know, the 20 or something year olds that, you know, we're looking for apps and precision ag, which is very scientific and very needs a lot of data and computers to help us, all the way up to, hey, I still need to advertise in a hard copy magazine and produce a brochure that sometimes feels like it's outdated the minute you print it. But so anything you can help our listeners with that?
I think it goes back to prioritization and that strategy session. You're always going to have multiple audiences, but you need to prioritize which one's really going to drive your business goals. Sure. And to your point, you might have a different priority audience for different pieces. So maybe your website, you aren't thinking about maybe the baby boomer generation. You're focusing your content and what you put on your website only on the millennial audience. And so, but you have other marketing pieces for the baby boomer people. So it's just, it's really making sure you're sitting down and thinking through each piece and who's the audience for it and where are they going to receive it. And also, where do you put the ad spend that you're going to get the best, not ads, where are you going to put your marketing spend where you get the best ROI?
Yeah.
Even though there's people that are making decisions in different demographics, maybe they're not your key demographic anymore.
And is that something you kind of help companies figure out, as you got all these platforms to choose from, where am I going to get the biggest ROI if I'm a precision ag company or a small equipment manufacturer or a whatever the case is?
Yeah, that's our goal, is to help you kind of figure out who those personas are and how to best go after them. And and that's why it's a partnership. What we do, I mean, for example, I had a client where we were going to redo their website, and I went into it. We had a strategy session thinking, oh, this is what they're going to want to focus on. They need to talk to, like, people in their community. And actually, at the end of the day, we figured out that the website was going to focus on potential employees because they needed to recruit more employees. It was entirely different than what I went into thinking. But that's the purpose of having those open communication strategy sessions, because you've got to...
A lot of times when they just need somebody that kind of puts them all together, ask the questions, and then ask them back again. Is that really what you want? And then it changes up. That's great. Well, I wanted to, first of all, ask if people want to be involved or work with Standing Partnership, how do they find you, and how do they get a hold of the business and work with you guys?
Yeah. So our website is standingpartnership.com, and we also, our main phone number is 314-469-3500. And so people can always contact us either through the website or by phone, and we're happy to talk through, you know, what are the challenges you're facing and how we might be able to help you, and we can go from there. You can also go to our website and find a lot of additional tools and information. Like Greg was mentioning, we have a lot of content you can download around marketing, digital transformation, and websites. And so you can see a little bit more about how we think, how we approach things, and see if we might be a right fit for you.
Excellent. If nothing else, they should get the buyer's journey.
Yep.
And look at their company's information as, how does their buyer make that journey? Just that simple free document that they can download. Again, the website and phone number
is standingpartnership.com and 314-469-3500.
Well, thank you, Andrea, for sharing the Standing Partnership with our audience, and best of luck to you and your efforts to improve communication. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. For more sales development ideas, visit gregmartinelli.net. That's GREGMARTINELLI.net, gregmartinelli.net.